Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Sparty Talk, everyone. Michigan State men's basketball back in the Sweet 16. Oh, it's going to be that kind of show, everyone. Looking forward to it. Satchmo here, joined by the one, the only, the thin man, DB. Greetings, DB.
Greetings and salutations, Sweet 16 Nation.
Sweet 16 Nation it is. Back where we belong, DB.
Yeah.
It does feel good. So before we get into Sweet 16 talk, let us bid a fond farewell to the Michigan State women. They won their first round game against Central Michigan, and they got pounded by Notre Dame today. Not a pretty sight, DB. What, Notre Dame put 91? Put up 91?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was ugly. It was ugly. And it's two things. First of all, you don't want to be an 8 or 9 seed in the NCAA women's tournament because you end up inevitably against the 1 seed in the second round, and you are in their home gym. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, congratulations to Michigan State women for making the tournament, because I sort of wrote them off after the Big Ten tournament, and they had a good enough resume to get in there.
Yeah, I wrote them off, too. I wrote them off, and they got in as an 8 or 9 seed. I think it's the 9 seed, right? They got in as the 9 seed. They beat Central Michigan in a thrilling game. I know we need to get to the men, so just calm down, everyone. Let's give the women some love here first. But in absolutely thrilling game, and by the way, we need to take ESPN to task for completely screwing this up. The game theoretically was on ESPN2, unless you were in certain parts of the country, in which case it wasn't on ESPN2. What kind of garbage coverage is this? Put the game on a channel and leave it there.
Well, the other thing, too, is ESPN has multiple channels. Why aren't they showing this on more of their options?
Yeah. Why do we have to go to this stupid watch app to watch the game? And why do you – and it just makes no sense. I want to watch the game on TV. I want it to be on an ESPN channel. And when I turn the game on, I don't want you cutting to 5 or 6 different games because I tuned in to watch the Michigan State game.
Right.
This is not complicated. If CBS ran the NCAA tournament that way, there would be pitchforks in New York at CBS headquarters.
Right.
And then, good win against Central, tough loss, 91-63 was the loss. Michigan State was down 26 at the half. It is what it is. But you're right. You do not want to go as an 8-9 seed because you end up playing on the road against a team like Notre Dame or UConn or something like that, and that's just not fun.
Yeah, and while we're speaking, I am viewing the end of the UCLA-Maryland game, which is actually quite good. Now, Maryland is a 3. You got themselves a home game in College Park, but they're down 4 points to the UCLA women with about 24.7 to go.
Yeah. Look, these have been – I mean, for the most part, you had a lot of good games in the women's tournament. The women's tournament's been a lot of fun to watch. And it's good. But you want to know what's even more fun right now? The Michigan State men's team, because they reached the Sweet 16.
Good segue. Professional segue.
Professional segue. Yeah, how about that? and it was not without some anxious moments, especially against Bradley. The anxious moments were a little fewer and further between. Michigan State beat Bradley. 76-65. That was an uncomfortably close game throughout until the very end. Bradley was up. They kept hanging the lead, and you kept waiting for Michigan State to come back, and you kept waiting for Michigan State to come back. And Michigan State put that big run, like they always seem to find that extra gear in the second half, put that big run together and put Bradley away. And Cassius Winston, of course, the key to that run. McQuaid also played very well in that game. Kenny Goins struggled in that first game. Nick Ward struggled in that first game. And look, State's a team, low margin of error. We've said it all season long. It's particularly true now. If everything isn't clicking, it's tough for them to win. Everything wasn't clicking in that first round, but they still managed to pull off the win. And then second round, Michigan TV, they came out and just whooped Minnesota. I mean, just whooped Minnesota, 7-50. And that's with 20-something turnovers. I mean, could you imagine if they hadn't turned the ball over, they would have put up 100 spots.
Yeah, I was thinking that during the game, Satchmo. I sort of felt like, quite seriously, I'm not discrediting Minnesota, but I sort of felt like the Spartans should have been up by at least 35 at halftime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at least 35 at halftime. And, I mean, they just kept turning the ball over and turning the ball over. And, like, come on, guys. I mean, there was towards the end of the first half, like the last 5 minutes of the first half, it felt like almost every possession ended in a turnover. And yet here they had, like, a big lead. Look, part of it is Michigan State just matches up well against Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
They can go with their big lineup. They can play Tillman and Ward together and be successful. And by the way, UCLA just upsets Maryland 85-80 in the women's tournament.
Yeah.
So big upset as we talked here in Sparty Talk. 6-3 there. UCLA moves on to the Sweet 16. But,
yep.
I mean, this is the thing. Michigan State matches up really well against Minnesota. Some teams you just match up better against, right? And Michigan State, for whatever reason, didn't match up well against Indiana, and they match up really well against Minnesota, and they clobber them twice. And so, good. It was nice for Michigan State to get a statement win, and not just advance to the Sweet 16, but advance to the Sweet 16 feeling pretty good about themselves. And before we get to before we get to the Sweet 16 matchup, and before we talk about LSU, and then, you know, possibly a showdown with Duke afterwards, after that, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit about Duke barely beating Taco Fall in Central Florida. Before we get to all of that, we have to talk about just how stupid this whole Aaron Henry, Tom Izzo thing is. Tom Izzo went and yelled at his player at midcourt, and people act like the world was coming to an end. TB, what on earth is going on here?
Well, so it's my perception from what I was seeing out there. First of all, there was a lot of Michigan trolls, all right, who were tweeting stuff, who have no room to do so, who are biased against Michigan State and Izzo anyways. But it seemed to me that people know that Tom Izzo ratchets the intensity in the NCAA tournament. But he's not the only coach that does that. Everybody does it. And they were sort of waiting with their cameras and their video phones to take videos and photos of these things. And even the TV network was sort of keyed in on this thing. And you want to know what? Just like you said, Tom Izzo's been this way, and so have other coaches, I might add. I have seen, and I'm sure you have too, the following coaches go off on their players in huddles at one particular time or another: Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, John Beilein, and Bill Self. And who are all those coaches, along with Tom Izzo, Satchmo?
I will 100% agree. They've all gone off in their players in huddles. I mean, Mike Krzyzewski is legendary for doing it.
Yes.
It's one of those things where, look, coaches go off. But look, like Chris Holt went off on his player, you know, over on the sideline. You know, no one went crazy when he did it. Here's what happened, right? This one happened at midcourt. Right? This one happened with Tom Izzo walking out the midcourt to greet his player. He didn't even wait for his player to get back to the bench. And let's be honest, this isn't any different than the rest of the 30 games that they played this year, TB, or any of the 30 games they played last year, or any of the 30 to 35 games they played the previous year. Anyone that's watched Tom Izzo knows this is the way it works. This is the way things happen. And so that's just par for the course.
Yeah, to me, it's a lot to do about nothing.
Yeah, a lot to do about nothing. But this was Izzo marching out to midcourt and greening his player vociferously. And let's just face it, there are only a few coaches that can get away with doing that these days, right?
Yeah.
Coaching has sort of changed and moved, right? In that, look, there was a time where in football, you could grab a kid's face mask and yank them to the sideline and no one would think otherwise. You can't do that anymore, right? If you're a 30-something coach, you can't really do that anymore. You've got to find a new way to communicate with players. But you want to know what? Tom Izzo doesn't have to find a new way to communicate with players. Neither does Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, or Bill Self, because they're Tom Izzo, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, and Bill Self.
Yeah.
It is much ado about nothing. The only thing where it could potentially hurt, and let's face it, the potential is there, DB, is, you know, if you've got these recruits that are looking at it going, yep, I don't want a piece of that. I don't want to have to deal with that. And that's the only place. And let's face it, this is a perception that Tom Izzo's battled his entire career. Now, he's still been able to get recruits. He's still been able to get top-line players. I don't think that's about to change.
No.
It takes a certain type of player to go and play for Izzo. Izzo's going to keep getting those players. So you've got that. But it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the second is that, you know, I heard, you know, Izzo afterwards, and he said, I'm not changing, and I'm not apologizing, and he shouldn't. I mean, you know, look, if Izzo did something completely unthinkable, yeah, then you have a crisis on your hands. But this is Izzo. It is who he is now, as you said. Coaches can't come in there anymore, and, young guys don't have that sort of ability to be able to do that anymore. And that being said, kids know when they go to play for Tom Izzo and their parents, they know what they're getting to. I mean, Tom Izzo's been around for coaching the Spartans for 25 years, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it because I was there. when it started.
Oh, my.
So, all right. So now that we put that just ridiculous controversy to bed, let's go ahead and move on to LSU. LSU, TP, super athletic basketball team.
Yes.
This is the type of team, DB, that frankly gives Michigan State problems. They are long and athletic and have size at every position. They are quick because when you take a look at the Michigan State basketball teams, they are a lot of things. Super athletic is not one of them. They are smart. They are heady. They are crafty. They are skilled. High basketball IQ, work together as a team, don't get rattled, they're gritty. There's only one player when you look at that team that you can say, yeah, wow, that guy is super athletic, and that's Aaron Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a scary game for Michigan State. This isn't a gimme.
Nope.
That said, LSU's got to feel fortunate to be here.
Yeah, in more ways than
me. You want to talk about that a little bit? It looked to me like they won a couple games that they maybe should have lost.
Yeah, well, you can start with the Maryland game on Saturday. They had a big lead over Maryland, and credit to the Terps for coming back. And Satchmo called it. I mean, Maryland performed well despite their inexperience, and they gave LSU a scare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave LSU a scare. And I thought it was interesting at the end of the game, DB, tie game, right? And LSU has the ball with about 20 seconds left with a shot to win the game. LSU does. Let me tell you what Judd Heathcote would have done. Judd Heathcote would have fouled LSU and put him on the free throw line. And he says, all right, yeah, I know it's a tie game, but let me see if you can hit some free throws. And even in the off chance, you do make these pressure free throws. You want to know what? We'll have the ball with a chance to tie or win the game. And I'll take my chances with that. Judd liked having the ball with a chance to tie to win the game better than he liked defending with a chance to lose. Judd hated that. And The strategy's unorthodox, Stevie. There are very few coaches in the game, if any, that would employ that. But you want to know what? Judd said, I'll take my chances with Steve Smith and Sean Resper and Scott Skiles and Magic Johnson. Right? I'll take my chances winning the game more than I'd take my chances losing the game. And Jay Vincent. You want to know what?
Yep.
I think Judd's right. If I'm Maryland, I'm fouling and I'm fouling again and I'm putting them on the line. I'm getting the ball back. Because you want to know what? LSU hadn't stopped me the entire second half. What made you think they were going to stop me when it came right down to it?
Right. I could not agree more.
I think it was a tactical error by Mark Turgeon. I really do.
Yeah, I would agree. And as time goes on, we'll see if Mark Turgeon can, you know, get beyond the stigma that, you know, he's had, what, one tournament win now since he's been at Maryland in 7 years or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, this is a legitimate question. I can't believe I'm asking. Does Turgeon survive the offseason in Maryland?
Yeah, I think he does because he's bringing in good recruits. And they kind of got to the second round, and they almost went to the third. So, for now, he survives, yeah.
All right. All right, which brings us back to LSU. Long,
yes.
Athletic, and you're right, fortunate to be there. I mean, really, what is LSU doing in the tournament? Because all of these wins are going to have to be vacated. I mean, let's just cut to the chase.
Right, that's what I was sort of hinting at. Yeah, they it's a sad state of affairs for LSU and really college basketball. The whole thing casts a pall over college basketball right now.
They were caught on a wiretap making an offer and being pissed off about the offer not being accepted, right?
This is on the wiretap. More clear than that.
All right, so what is the sense, why is LSU in the tournament if you're going to vacate the win?
Yeah, well, what if they somehow win the national championship? I mean, you know the NCAA selection committee was like, they're sweating right now. They're like, okay, all right, you know, if they beat Michigan State, fine, Duke will beat them, right? Well, what if they upset Duke and go to the Final Four? What if they're in the championship game and they're playing somebody like Virginia? Or North Carolina, and they somehow win.
The NCAA should have done this, and it should be very simple. They should have bribed LSU. They were like, what? I'm serious.
Bribe?
They should have bribed LSU.
I want to hear this.
If you accept, if you voluntarily opt out of the postseason, we'll go easy on you. We won't give you a 5-year ban or a 3-year ban. We'll go easy on you. You opt out of this postseason and you opt out of next postseason. That's it. Right?
Yeah.
Simple.
I would have taken that. If I was LSU, I would have said, yep, okay, sold.
No loss of scholarship, none of that sort of stuff. Just opt out in the next two postseasons. Take the slap on the wrist.
Yep.
Instead,
your fans would have been upset
for
a few days, and then that's it.
Yeah. Instead, we're going through the charade where they're playing in the tournament or knocking off teams, and then the victories are going to be vacated. And, you know, they win a national championship, it's going to be vacated. And then on top of being vacated, they're going to get a postseason ban anyway. And they're going to lose scholarships. And if the NCAA just leaned on them early and said, yeah, let's do this. That's what they should have done. And why the NCAA didn't go this route, you got me. It's just silly. It's stupid.
Yeah, the NCAA, Satchmo, they're not like the pro sports leagues, but they need to be. They need to be more on top of stuff. They just sort of sit back, and at some point, the gravy train's going to run out. I don't know when it is, but at some point, people are going to turn away or stop watching as much. The Zions will not come, and they're going to get it at some point. Karma's going to get them big time. So they need to be policing rather than waiting. It's not fair to punish programs 10 years after something happened. I mean, that's just stupid stuff.
Yeah, that's just stupid stuff. And it's not fair to punish programs who are already free and clear, right? I mean, to a certain degree,
right.
Michigan State is being punished by playing LSU. To a certain degree,
right.
Maryland was punished by having to play LSU because LSU had
yeah.
no business being in the tournament.
Right.
Under the cheaters never prosper rule. It's frustrating and it is ridiculous. So now comes one of the bigger questions, DB. The game being played
yeah.
in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Local game for the two of us.
Yes.
We will establish off the bat that Satchmo cannot attend because Satchmo will be in Florida for a work conference.
Oh. Boo.
Unhappy Satchmo. Unhappy Satchmo. Devastated Satchmo. Of all the rotten timing. This. So, the ultimate question
right.
is, will DB be going to
sucks.
The game?
DB
it
is
does
not,
suck, but are
so
you going to the game? DB is not.
DB is not able to. However, while we were talking, I was going to go on StubHub and just check out the prices, just because I'm curious as to what those prices are with the second game.
Oh, with the Duke.
Virginia Tech.
Who's Duke playing? Yeah, Duke, Virginia Tech. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a big game for the D.C. area. That's a home game for the Hokies.
These things are really expensive anyways. $300 to $400 is your cheapest ticket.
Yeah.
For the double
pass. That sounds about right.
Yeah, the price will come down if it's Michigan State versus Vitek in the or LSU versus
yeah,
Vitek in the
Yeah, but you want to know what? $300 to $400 for a double pass isn't bad. That's like $150 a game.
Yeah, it's not bad, but I certainly wouldn't. I'm not sure I would lay that down for that. Especially if it's
yeah.
going to nosebleed, I don't want to sit there. But you know,
I would have. I definitely would have. Now, in a way, it's kind of good that I'm not at the game because you want to know what? The last two times I've been to the phone booth to watch Michigan State play, they lost.
Yeah.
So the Michigan State's record with at the phone booth with me in attendance, not very good.
Yeah.
So in a way, it could be a good news scenario for Michigan State. Satchmo not there, got a chance to win. That's a Washington, D.C. only thing. You know, I went and watched them in the Final Four. In Detroit, they won. I've watched them all over the country. They've won. It's just, for some reason, when I watch them in person in Washington, D.C., they don't win.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we got that out of the way. So let's go back to this game. Not the best of matchups. What are you expecting out of this game?
I still feel like, you know, with a little bit of extra rest, thankfully, the Spartans, you know, played on Saturday and they don't have to play again until Friday night, which is nice. That's a nice reward for getting to the Sweet 16. They get a little rest the legs a little bit. You know, I know LSU is going to be tough. That's a tough matchup. but I think the Spartans can win a squeaker over LSU. I'm thinking if they can keep LSU, well, first of all, limit turnovers, obviously, which I know they can. I think they were just sort of, I don't want to say they were phonying into Minnesota, but I think they were getting a little cute out there in Minnesota, and I think that's an aberration. I think they realize they can't be playing like that again. I'm thinking a 70 to 65, 71 to 66. They can pull it off in the third round. Right.
Yeah, that's sort of the direction I'm leaning, DB. I feel like when it's all said and done, Michigan State's going to be able to score against LSU. I just feel like they're going to be able to execute at a good level. And to me, it's interesting, right? Because what we saw against Minnesota was really weird. For one half, they played their throw the ball into the post offense in the first half. And in the second half, they played their ball screen offense. And now what they need to do is they need to find that right balance. They need to find the balance and mix it up a little bit. And I'm sure they will, and I'm sure that'll happen, but it'll be good. They'll find that right balance between throwing the ball into the post and running that ball screen, and not just the ball screen, but the screen and rescreen. That offense has been devastating. I mean, it devastated Michigan. It's devastated every team that they've done against in the Big Ten. Nobody's had an answer for that screen and rescreen offense. That they love to run, and so they'll find that mixture of throwing in the ball. A lot of those turnovers, DB, came frankly from being rusty. They came from post entry passes. It's like they've forgotten how to throw the ball into the post, and to a certain degree, they have because they haven't been throwing the ball. They haven't had to throw the ball to Nick Warren in the post, and so it's like, oh yeah, we have to remember how to do this again.
Yeah,
and so that was part of it, and so yeah, I think there will be. I think Michigan State will do. I think Michigan State will do all right against LSU. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a tight game, and I think Michigan State's going to end up winning it at the free throw line. They're going to shoot more free throws. They're going to make more free throws, and ultimately, that's going to be the difference in the game. But let me tell you what: if Kenny Goins knocking them down from deep, Michigan State is hard to beat. He's a real X factor. So, yeah, I kind of like Michigan State. So, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
All right. Duke, Virginia Tech on the other side, DB. Let's talk about Duke versus Central Florida.
Okay.
All right.
My first comment. Duke shouldn't be playing anymore this year.
100% agree. 100% agree. Central Florida got robbed, DB.
Oh, yeah.
Got robbed. So now let's throw this following caveat. Dawkins converts on that alley-oop pass with a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in the game. Central Florida wins anyway, right?
Yeah.
Fumbled alley-oop pass on the fast break. That was the ball game right there. They make that, it's lights out. Say goodnight, Gracie. It really is. And then that tip goes halfway down and comes back out, which is just devastating. And I feel terrible for Dawkins because Dawkins was just outstanding in that game. That said, that last possession, DB, that was a charge on Zion Williamson.
Oh, my God, you're telling me. I was just screaming at the TV. I'm just like, the referees decided, oh, yeah, well, I don't see anything. Is there a game going on here? You don't, that was a linebacker move. The guy had position.
Clear position. Outside the restricted zone, Zion dropped his shoulder and ran him over. Let me tell you what, Nick Ward has been called for less.
Yes.
In fact, I promise you against LSU, Nick Ward is going to get called for things that are much low. They're not even close to that. That was, we're not going to call a foul on Zion. He's a star player. It's just ridiculous. So clearly a charge. Then Zion misses the free throw. and Barrett pushes with two hands the UCF player in the back and out of the way to clear room for him to get the offensive rebound.
Yes, another foul, yes.
Blatant.
And I noticed no one from CBS talking about that.
No one.
On either call. What's up with that?
Just terrible work.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now. If Michigan State is not playing Duke in the Elite Eight, I am doing something else. I am not giving any of my eyeballs to any more Duke, and I don't care. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Duke favoritism. I'm tired of it's just a show. It's a monstrosity is what it is. Hopefully Michigan State will get the opportunity to play Duke and tear them down. But they have no business in this tournament anymore this year. And how much more of a fun tournament would it be? I mean, I'd love to see the Spartans to play Taco.
That would be so much fun.
Oh, my God. It'd be a blast.
Yeah, but you want to know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is, I don't – so Michael Jordan, you know, Michael Jordan, people used to always ask him who the toughest player for him to go up against was. Always, always, always. And his answer was really weird, right? His answer was never, you know, Karl Malone or, you know, John Paxson or – not John Paxson, but Craig Elo or any of these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
His answer was always Manu Bol. He said, and his answer was, man, that big guy in the middle just messes everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Taco Fall is exactly that. Man, when he was on the court, he just messed everything up for Duke.
Yep.
And I will
have swatting balls right and left.
Swatting balls right and left, but more importantly, he was altering shots, right? He was altering the offense. Man, Duke didn't even want to go inside when he was there.
Yeah.
It just completely changed it. And by the way, I mean, there's some lineups that Duke runs out there. There are two guys you don't have to guard. You could just ignore them. I mean, realistically, you can go triangle and two against Duke.
Yeah.
Because there are two guys you don't have to guard. And it's pretty amazing, and so you have that just watching Duke. I'm going there, but one of the interesting things I thought watching UCF play, and I thought watching Duke play, and it's one of the problems Michigan State has. And if you want to criticize Tom Izzo over something, and this is a perfectly valid criticism, is that Duke and UCF, when things weren't going well, they had a different look to go to, right? So Duke went to this, this pressure defense, sort of a 3-2 pressure defense coming up the court. And that changed the complexion of the game for Duke because Central Florida started turning the ball over. When Central Florida started running the problem, man, they started, all right, let's try the zone. Let's try a box and one. Let's try a triangle and two. They were doing all sorts of creative things defensively that Michigan State just doesn't do, right? I mean, Michigan State gets creative defensively, right? But them getting creative defensively is, you know, moving from hedging on their screen to switching on the screen, right? Which in the grand scheme of things is a big deal, but it feels like in Central Florida had like they just had more looks to throw at the opponent, and Michigan State just doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And
is there anything, I mean, at this point in the year, is there any new wrinkles Tom Izzo could try to pull out, or is it kind of is what it is at this point?
It sort of is what it is at this point. I mean, Izzo reinvented the offense midseason, so you got to give him credit for that, right? The offense was a post was a post and send it back outside, an inside-out offense. And Izzo completely reinvented into a motion offense with a lot of screen and rescreen action. Just changed the nature of the offense. So you've got that, so you got to give Izzo credit for that. And Izzo reinvented his defense, right? He prefers to do that high hedge on pick and rolls, and with Tillman in there, and especially against Michigan, they went to switching everything, and which is a completely different look, and it's not easy to go up against. And so they did that. So it's not that they don't have more than one look. You just wish they had a pressure defense package in there, right? You wish they had a zone package in there, not to do a lot, but just to change things up and throw out and maybe change momentum your way. And Michigan State just doesn't have that. And it always talks about it, but it just never happens. And I guess I'm not holding my breath that it ever will. It's just the way it is, but no, it's too late to do something about it now.
Yeah. I think at this point of the year, you are what you are. Very few teams, I think, can pull something out of a UCF. Seem to be able to do that.
So good for them. It would have been fun to have Taco fall in a Michigan State uniform and just watch the fans chant, "We want Taco."
Yeah, I know. I love that kid. I really hope that somehow he makes it into the NBA. I mean, he's got the height. He just works on his game, his free throws a little bit, and we can see him there. I mean, the NBA loves height. They love height.
And look, he's new to basketball. He's only been playing 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and he's got the name.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got branding potential all over him.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he makes it too. All right, if Michigan State is fortunate enough to advance past LSU and play Duke, how are you feeling about that game?
I think I feel like the Spartans win, but it's for the wrong reasons. I feel a ref job coming. That's kind of what I'm thinking here, Sagno. I don't trust anybody or anything, and it has nothing to do with the players on the floor. The Spartans, look, we've said this before. Sparks can tangle with Zion. Nick Ward and Tillman, they can tangle with them. My concern actually would be that Barrett and Reddish go off on us more than him. I think Duke wins with some questionable officiating.
You want to know? I think Michigan State can hang with Duke too. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think it'll be a pretty good basketball game because I'll tell you what. You got three bodies that you can throw at Zion, between Ward, Tillman, and Kithier, right? You got three live bodies that you can just rotate and just run at Zion, which is really good. You've got Ben, right? I mean, if you want to talk about Barrett, you want to put Aaron Henry on him? I'll take my chances with that. And then you want to put McQuaid on Reddish? I'll take my chances with that. And then you got two guys you don't have to guard.
Right.
It works. You could even run Foster Lawyer out there for 10 minutes because he doesn't have to guard anyone. He could be a free agent.
Free agent. I'm gonna tell you what I'm praying for the end of the one and done thing, Satchmo. I just let these kids go to the NBA. I'm tired of it. I mean, it's just a big show. I think we had this discussion before on the podcast, but either stay 3 years, 21, like the NFL, or you go ahead and go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Let the kids play college basketball, really actually want to play. Mike Krzyzewski, this stuff now, he's just, look, I'm not going to completely discredit Coach K because he is a great coach, but at this point in his career, he doesn't really want to coach. It's hard. What is he, like 75 or something?
Yeah. I think that's part of it. You want to know what, you know, Coach K was all sanctimonious about building teams the right way and having juniors and seniors when Calipari was trotting in the one and done. And now that he's doing it, it's perfectly acceptable, right? It's just like, come on.
Hypocritical. Yeah, it's hypocritical.
Yeah, hypocritical. And the Duke fans, the Duke fans, it's just like, come on. You were all against Coach Calipari in Kentucky for doing the one and done. Now Coach K does it. Well, you got to keep up with the times. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they all say that. Oh God, I want to vomit. And you know, I'm gonna say something so extreme. I was thinking about this earlier before the podcast. If Michigan somehow is playing Duke in the Final Four, God forbid, I'm actually gonna root for Michigan. And just in that one game.
Oh yeah, same here.
I'll root for Michigan.
Just for the one game.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
That's how seriously bad I hate Duke. And if Duke is playing, and I'm going to guarantee you this, and I'll selfie you on the night of the championship. If the NCAA championship game turns out to be Duke versus the University of Virginia, I am going to see Shazam. At the Mosaic. I'm not even going to sit in front of my TV and watch 1 second of that. I will selfie you from the movie theater and show you that I'm sitting with some popcorn watching Suzanne.
Okay, that's for Duke UVA. What about Duke, North Carolina?
Duke, North Carolina, I'll watch because I'll root really hard for North Carolina to win. And it'll be realistic.
Same here.
And it'll be very possible that North Carolina could, which would make me happy. Even though I'm not the biggest North Carolina fan, I don't have as much of a fan as I have with Duke.
All right, I'm with you on those counts.
So you have the Shazam guarantee for the championship.
The
game.
Shazam guarantee, the DB Shazam guarantee. Love it. 100% love it. In the rest of the brackets, who's impressed you?
Well, we'll start with the team I just mentioned, Virginia. They were grabbing the ball a little tight there against Gardner-Webb. To start off with, Gardner-Webb, by the way, isn't that a furniture store in the
it looked like UVA was playing for the discount.
They need some patio furniture for their apartment or something. And then they turned it up in the And then he turned up in the second half, and they seem to have no problem with Oklahoma. But UVA is back to sort of looking like, you know, I'm not sure how many points they can score. And they're in for a real battle with Oregon, Satchmo. Oregon surprised me also. I mean, they were pretty sharp.
That big guy for Oregon, just human eraser back there, blocking shots left and right.
Yeah. Oregon is going to be tough for the rest of that field there. Another one is Purdue in that region. That's the one I had the hardest time picking, and I'm really wrong on that one. Purdue impressed me. They're the perennial chokers that get, you know, I thought for sure Old Dominion was just going to get them in the first round. And Matt Painter got to the Sweet 16, so that's another one. How about you?
Purdue's impressed me. Poised and polished, and I think getting out of conference has helped them tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
Just helped them tremendously.
That
and,
one dude, Matthews or whatever, scored 47 on Villanova. 47, I think he had.
Yeah, Carson Edwards, right?
My Edwards, yeah. My God.
Yeah, yeah.
Villanova had no answer for that at all.
Yeah, none whatsoever. I've been very impressed with Purdue. And they're playing Tennessee, right?
Yeah, that should be a good ball game.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be a very good ball game. I kind of like Purdue's chances.
I do. I was impressed with Iowa's comeback, even though they lost. That was a heck of a down 21 in Tennessee.
Okay.
Where's your defense?
I have to say this. As bad as the officiating was at the end of the game in Duke Central Florida, the Iowa-Tennessee game is the worst officiated game I've seen all season long.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, just think about that. We've seen some terrible officiating. some god-awful officiating. So how bad did this game have to be the worst officiated game all season long? Yet it was, and it wasn't even close.
Right.
Just awful. So, yeah, Iowa impressed me, but, yeah, I like Tennessee. I mean, I like Purdue. I like Purdue over Tennessee.
I
like Purdue over Tennessee, and that Purdue-UVA game is going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think any way you cut it there, you know, Oregon's going to be tough. I was not thinking about Oregon, but, you know, because I'm going on the general weakness of the conference, which is not right of me to do. But, Oregon's a solid team. Wouldn't surprise me to see them in the Final Four.
No, but I kind of like, yeah, I'm agree. Purdue's one of my big surprises. They have fared a lot better out of tournament than I was expecting. Houston.
I'll be for Purdue. Yeah,
Houston Elvin looked pretty good.
Did you watch Houston play Ohio State?
I did.
That was a chippy game. I thought we were going to see a brawl.
Yeah. It was a weird game. Every time Ohio State got close, Houston would just pull away, and Ohio State would make a charge, and Houston would pull away. And yeah, Houston's not backing down from anyone. That's what I got out of that game. Houston to show up and play hard. And by the way, the Wofford Kentucky game, you've got a kid in there, Murphy. I mean, you've got a couple of kids in there that normally make every three-pointer they shoot, and they were just shooting terribly against Kentucky. Man, if they make two three-pointers that these guys normally make in their sleep, it's ball game. Kentucky's going home. Wofford gave Kentucky all it could handle.
Yeah, and that Kentucky-Houston game will be a great game to watch, actually.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I would not be surprised if Houston won that game. Because Houston is not scared. And the number one ingredient for playing and beating Kentucky is not being scared. Wofford was not scared. And Houston is not going to be scared. That should be a pretty good basketball team. That said, North Carolina looks like the best team in the region.
Yeah, North Carolina looks like they're in the zone. And, again, I think they seem like a Final Four team to me unless somebody can prove otherwise. I think, you know, North Carolina there. And North Carolina against either Purdue or Oregon would be a great – or even Tennessee. I mean, I definitely would pull up a chair and watch any of those matchups. I won't go see Shazam for those.
No. The other team that's impressed me is Gonzaga.
Yes. Shazam. They look really solid. Really solid.
Yeah, Gonzaga looks really solid. And so I'm sort of excited, but that Gonzaga-Florida State game could be the best Sweet 16 game.
Oh, that's going to be a grudge match.
I am looking forward to the Gonzaga-Florida State game.
Yeah. And also, Michigan's going to have their hands full with Texas Tech. That's not going to be an easy game. They're very similar to Michigan.
Yeah. That's no gimme.
Nope.
But you want to know why? I mean, the bottom line is both teams play great defense. Michigan just plays better offense than Texas Tech.
Yeah. Michigan might be a shot or two better than Texas Tech. But it could be a game scored in the high 50s or low 60s again, which plays really well in the Michigan's favor.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a game that plays in the 50s. Complete agreement on that. All right. So, I mean, just sort of recapping, what are we thinking Final Four-wise?
So, unfortunately, I see it as Duke going up against Gonzaga, and I'll be rooting very hard for Gonzaga. Yep, on that side of the bracket. And then on the other side, I'm going with the spoiler in Oregon against North Carolina.
Interesting.
Yep.
You got Oregon going to the Final Four?
I do now, yes. I reseeded. That wasn't my original pick.
Yeah.
And who do you have coming out of the Midwest?
The Midwest region is which one? The
Carolina.
Oh, yeah, North Carolina.
Yeah, okay. Yep, and then so you've got Carolina versus Oregon, and I'm going to guess you have Carolina there.
Yep.
And you've got Duke versus Gonzaga, and I'm going to
have Gonzaga.
You have Duke there. Oh, you have Gonzaga.
Nope.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm taking, Gonzaga to beat Duke, and then North Carolina to cut down the nets against Gonzaga. But I hope Gonzaga, if Michigan State can't, I hope Gonzaga can.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think Duke, you've got to lean Duke. Michigan State's got a shot at beating Duke. But just because the officials are going to be in the bag for Duke, you got to lean Duke.
Yeah.
I like Gonzaga. I really do. I think they're a really good basketball team. And so I got Duke and Gonzaga there. I'm thinking the winner of this Tennessee-Purdue game, DB, is going to go to the Final Four.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm leaning Tennessee right now. Just
because
I don't trust
pick.
Yeah. I just don't trust Matt Painter. I don't.
Here's a question for you in that region. Does Virginia stand any chance against anybody left there?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I think they can beat Oregon.
It's
going to be a great game, but I think they can beat Oregon.
Yeah.
But I just think the winner of that Tennessee-Purdue game is going to have a little too much for Virginia.
Yes.
And if you ask me, UVA would rather play Tennessee because Purdue creates significant matchup problems for them.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think the winner of that game, and so I'll go with Tennessee coming out of the South. I like Carolina out of the Midwest. I kind of think Houston's going to be Kentucky.
And I can see that.
It's going to be Houston. Yeah, it's going to be Houston, Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like Carolina. And then you got Duke and Gonzaga. I kind of like the Zags. And a more complete basketball team. And an older basketball team. And I like them in that spot. And I like North Carolina to beat Tennessee. And then you want to know what? Sure, let's go for it. Let's go with Gonzaga cutting down the nets.
If it can't be the Spartans, let it be Gonzaga. I would love to see them finally do that. Yep.
That's sort of my thinking behind it, too. Is, you know, if there's another team in college basketball that I can see win the national championship, it's Gonzaga. So, sure, why not? Let's go for it.
Yep.
Any final thoughts before we end this edition of Sparty Talk, DB?
I guess one other thing I could mention very, very briefly, is the seeds got seeded for the college hockey NCAA tournament, and two Big Ten teams ended up in there, Notre Dame. And
so Penn State needed to win the Big to get there, and they didn't do that.
They didn't. Nope.
So the Big got Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Yep.
Which just feels weird for Notre Dame and Ohio State to be representing the Big in the NCAA hockey tournament.
And the field is missing, as we were talking about. You know, you were going through those pairwise things a few weeks ago. The field is missing some prominent names. I mean, you don't have a Minnesota. You don't have a Boston College. You don't have a Wisconsin. You don't have a Boston University. It's weird. It's a weird state of affairs right now. No North Dakota.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. All these brand names are gone. And who on earth is American International?
Arizona State is a 3 seed somewhere in the NCAA hockey tournament this year. They've only been competing for, what, a year?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Michigan State should consider canceling their program for about 5 years and then coming back. I bet they could build a better program than the way they're at it right now. I'm joking about
probably.
That, but in a way I'm not joking about that.
Yeah, if there's no pressure to win now, then you probably could devote all your energy to winning at some point in the future and come back with an amazing team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sort of the college hockey version of trust the process. So, yeah, I think there is definitely something to that. But, yeah, no, I think I think that's a good note to end it on. College hockey in a weird state of affairs.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that for some future podcasts. A lot more Spartans beyond just next weekend to talk about. You know, I want to mention one funny thing with Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is so funny sometimes. Tom Izzo was asked at the end of the Bradley game, I don't know if you caught it, what he thought about playing Minnesota in the second round. Did you see that?
Did he say something about not realizing he was still in the Big Ten Conference or something like that?
Yeah, something to that effect. He sort of cocked his head and he had this little smirk on his face and he smiled and was like sort of, well, and then he said, I have some issues with that or whatever, something like that. And he was trying to be nice.
Yeah, you get the sense that Tom Izzo, you get the sense that Tom Izzo is just not happy with the NCAA right now.
No.
No. I mean, he that's it. I mean, he is not happy with the NCAA right now. And
no.
He's trying to hold his tongue. He's trying to bite his tongue. He doesn't want to make March about a war between him and the NCAA. But at some point, he's going to go off. Tournament's over and it's all said and done. He is going to go off. And quite frankly, I want to be there when that happens.
Yeah. Somebody needs to, because it's just, the whole system with college basketball right now is just, it's getting as bad as college football, if you ask me.
It is, I mean, in a way, college football is better, right?
Yeah.
In a way, it's better. You sort of know the rules, and whether you like it or dislike it, you know what the situation is going in, and you just sort of roll with it. And college basketball is just a moving target.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating.
Yep.
But, hey. You know, there's no American International University in the NCAA basketball tournament, so they're doing something right. Or they're doing something wrong, depending on your point of view.
American International. I don't know. I saw that, and I followed it in college hockey for a long time, as you have, and I scratched my head. I'm just like, I know nothing there. I have no idea.
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
On the next podcast, on the next Sparty Talk, and we'll leave it at this, we will provide a Hirose update with the Red Wings. Hirose, you know, signed the free agent contract, has been playing reasonably well, and so we'll dig in a little deeper with that because I think that's worth more than a two-minute discussion.
Yeah. He had an assist in his first game, I believe, against the Rangers the other night.
Yeah, he's gotten on the board a couple times. Good for him. Good for him. Well, that does it for this edition of Sparty Talk. We thank you for joining us. We'll be back at you probably next week, sometime after we figure out what happens in Michigan State this weekend in the NCAA tournament. Here's hoping for a Final Four. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.